I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 27. And 27 is 1989, Rusty Wallace, or he was known as Russell William Wallace Jr., William Wallace, Scotland. And at number 27, Kodiak Pontiac.
All right.
We could have went Jill Villeneuve in the Ferrari.
Yeah. Could have.
But thought Nate was going to be here, but Oh, well. All right. There we go. So, anyways, on tonight's episode, we'll talk NASCAR at the Lady in Black, Darlington, or the track Too Tough to Tame. Whatever you want to choose. First race of the playoffs. We will talk F1. Welcome back to the fall season after the summer break. To Zandvoort in the dunes. And then we will discuss the season finale, although anticlimactic, as Alex Palou had already sewn up the championship. Mm-hmm. But we will talk about it. It was kind of an exciting race. And then we will talk news and notes, lots of news, particularly in IndyCar today.
Yeah, and continuing to evolve by the time this probably comes out.
Probably more stuff is breaking as we talk. So anyways, to Darlington, South Carolina. Sadly, a stage race. Had it not been a stage race, been far more exciting. The Cookout Southern 500 ran Saturday night under the lights, Sunday night under the lights, sorry. And our winner, Chase Briscoe, held off Tyler Reddick and Eric Jones to take the win. John Hunter Nemechek was fourth, the Dinger fifth, followed by Darrell Wallace and Denny Hamlin, who are racing along with their teammate, Tyler Reddick, for a team that may not exist next year. And Kurt Busch was eighth. Carson Hocevar, Nate's guy, was ninth. And Chris Buescher, 10th. Christian, didn't you race against Chase Briscoe?
When?
In a kart?
Are you talking... That
F1 Junior Day?
Yeah, no, that was Chris Buescher and Dakota Armstrong.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, Dakota Armstrong. Yeah, jeez, yeah. How could I get Chase Briscoe and Dakota Armstrong mixed up?
I don't know.
I knew Chris Buescher was there. Sorry.
I'm surprised I still remember that day.
Yeah, I know. Well, I just remember it because Nate was like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Nate was too old to race in it. By a season.
Yeah. Well, stop getting old.
Right. All right. Let's just, I don't really have much to say. It was a crash fest and that was it. A lot of sloppy pit work and stuff like that. The, Bowman's car came in for a pit stop and both air guns went over the wall. And they both unplugged from the air canister.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was like, crack. That's crack. Crack pit stop activity there. You're supposed to test your guns before you go over the walls, boys. But hey, you know, these are pit stop only guys. So another reason why I can't stand NASCAR. Guys don't even work on the cars.
I mean, I didn't watch any of the races live this weekend, but I did catch up on F1 and IndyCar. Not that that has anything to do with NASCAR. I didn't even look.
Yeah.
So what, Briscoe? I basically just hit the point of what's the playoff?
He was the front runner all weekend. So good for him.
Okay. Cool. So
all right, let's move to the playoff standings. Yeah. No one's yet been eliminated. Briscoe is now our leader at 2070, followed by Hamlin, Larson, Reddick, Darrell Wallace. That's our tied with Will Byron. Although, how does Darrell Wallace get ahead of William Byron? They have the same number of points. I don't know. Anyways, I'm just going to move on.
So SVG had that bad of a day. He went from second.
He's 12.
12.
12, yeah.
So he's the last man in.
No, because Logano, Dillon, Bowman, it's the top 16, isn't it?
I'm talking to advance to the next round.
Oh yeah, he's on the cut line.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
All right.
But isn't
okay?
Is it the road course this?
No,
this
no,
round or next
no,
round?
No, next no, round. Next. This race is at Worldwide Technology Raceway, otherwise known as Gateway.
All right, so it's Gateway and then. And then what?
No, Bristol.
Bristol. Okay.
Then so New Hampshire.
He might not even get out of the first round.
Right. No, I know. Oh. The New Hampshire race actually has a sponsor.
So something
like legit.
Something like lobster?
USA. No, USA Today 301.
Oh. Isn't that what it was last year?
I don't know.
No. Okay.
Now, Bank of America is like, that's, oh God, it's way in. Jesus. God.
Yeah. All right. Oh.
Anyways.
Enough of NASCAR.
All right. That's it. All right. We're on to Worldwide Technology Raceway next.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to Formula One, an exciting race.
Yeah.
I thought so. No?
McLaren dominated, but aside from that, like there was some good.
They dominated until they went boom.
Until one went boom.
Right.
I mean, there was good races in the back of the pack. It was interesting. People were going for moves, didn't work. Some did. So.
Yep. I mean, Oscar was definitely on it this weekend. Will say this. Yep. Go.
Well, I think Lando definitely had the outright speed, but he just didn't put the lap together in qualifying. Put him on the back.
Yeah.
The race had to try and
fell
make
asleep
it up.
At the didn't fell, work. Fell asleep at so. The. Fell asleep at the start.
I wouldn't even say fell asleep at the start because at Zandvoort you're screwed anyways.
I know, but that you got starting position. I know, but he got caught mixing it. Well, I mean, him and Max mix it up cleanly, but I mean, he got passed, and he spent two laps behind Max trying to get by him. He made a nice move.
Yeah, yeah.
To get by him.
So, and it compromised him. Well, yeah. Actually, I shouldn't say compromised him the whole race, but. Based on how the following yellows came out, he wasn't able to mount too much of a challenge to Piastri.
No.
So.
No. No. But Oscar did a great job of controlling the race.
Yep.
Every time that Lando got near him, he got to just 1.2 and it stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
Max, a tremendous job riding around in third.
I mean, really, no man's land.
No man's land is right. I don't know how he keeps himself entertained, but he did. And then star of the race. Well, star of the race.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac Hadjar.
You mean Alan Prost?
He does look like Alan Prost, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's
tight true. Too. Yeah. He's a stockier Alan Prost. He does look like him.
Yeah.
He finished third. The snitch was fourth. Alex Albon, solid run with the Williams to fifth. Kimi Antonelli, not to be confused with Kimi Räikkönen. Sixth, good job, bouncing back. Ollie Berman, fantastic finish, seventh. Garnered points for Haas.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Stroll from nowhere. I mean, literally from nowhere, eighth.
Yeah. I mean, give credit where credit's due, and good.
Yeah.
Great result for him.
Yeah.
I didn't hear if he had a unpleasant post race radio message. Had at Silverstone. Yeah. It's like, dude, just you got points.
Yeah.
So
he got points. Anyways, Fernando finished ninth. Tsunoda, 10th.
I mean, it would have been worse if both Ferraris had finished the race. So
let's get the Ferraris. what a day.
All right, so Lewis's incident, that is just driver error.
Yep. I would 100% say that.
And I mean, it just is, I guess, continues the struggles that he's had with the car this season.
Yeah.
So, unfortunate. It really seemed like a lazy tap to the wall that just ripped the front end off. I was thinking he might have gotten away with it, but clearly didn't. And yeah, changing conditions doesn't help, but you know, it's F1 and you're 20 of the best drivers in the world that make the grid. Put an asterisk next to that because we know it's definitely not the best 20, but you know, at least in that half of the field, you definitely are the best. And then just made a mistake. Too bad. Fast forwarding to Leclerc's incident. Rookie mistake on Kimi's side.
Yep.
That's really what you chalk it up to. I like that he went for the move because it's just different because it seems like everyone's so passive in trying to make a move sometimes, but he actually went for it. It just didn't work out in the end, at least for Leclerc. Although I did enjoy the move that Leclerc made on Russell earlier in the race. I thought that was great. Where they were going into the last chicane, and
he
overtook George around the outside, which came to the inside. I mean, he can sit there and say he took off or overtook off the track at that point, but I mean, when the track is at that point defined by gravel, I mean, you're muscling your way through. And he did it where he didn't take the other car out either and kept his nose in, and they both continued on. So I think it was fine. It doesn't mean, you know, you can just stick your nose in whatever and you're entitled to that space, but he positioned himself pretty well.
Yeah.
So, definitely enjoyed seeing that. Continuing with side-by-side racing, that Sainz penalty was BS.
Yes, 100%.
On Lawson. I just, like, they both wrecked their race at that point.
Yeah.
So there's also no point in putting any blame on it because, I mean, it's Zandvoort, it's close quarters, and unfortunately, stuff like that happens. I mean, I think it's more of a racing incident than anything. Because, yes, Sainz was pinching Lawson to try and keep him tight to the bottom, but also Lawson's got the got his nose ahead, mm-hmm. so he can, if he wants to run Sainz up off the track, he can do that too. But like,
yep,
you also can't. Both mindsets, both result in, if they're both taken on at the same time by each driver, which it was, it's going to result in contact because you can't go for the same space. So it was just dumb penalty from the FIA. No need for it. I guess talking about great moves, just to back it up to the very start, that was a great car control by Max to save the car after passing Lando around the outside. So that was great to see there. After that, the race, other than those moments, the race seemed processional in a sense.
Yeah. Well, that's sadly that's somewhat what that track breeds a little bit.
Right. Which, yeah, I'm not really surprised by that. But you just can't make a mistake, and it costs you. So it's kind of like how Monaco is, where you got to play the track position game. So, obviously, if you have a tire advantage, you can make a move mm-hmm. and into one, so it gets a little spicy. But yeah, it's tough. So,
that it is. That it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not much going on in the back of the field. You had Norris, Leclerc, and Hamilton out. Carlos, obviously was a victim. The Sauber is not a good weekend.
No, they definitely seemed like the team. Well, actually, hold on. Before I state this. There it is. I was going to say they seemed like the team that was most out to lunch, but I guess I'd probably lump them with Alpine as just the bottom two teams of the week.
Haas bounced back. They were nowhere, and
yes.
And they bounced back to 7th and 11th, so good for them.
7th and 10th.
No, the 11th. Yuki got 10th.
Did he? Wait a minute.
Yuki got 10th.
Sorry, I'm using Wikipedia.
Oh, well, everything in Wikipedia is true.
Oh, who finished 5th? Albon? Russell? No. Stroll and Alonso got 7th and 8th. Ocon
got... Well, who got bounced? Wait a minute. Who got bounced?
Yuki got 9th.
I had Piastri, Verstappen, right? Hadjar, Russell,
yep.
Albon.
Yep.
Antonelli, Berman.
Oh, Stroll. Kimi got bounced.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know. Now we gotta look it up.
Oh, all right. So Kimi got bounced. Okay. All right, move up. Haas got double points.
Now we gotta double check this on the website.
Yeah.
See, this is why. Yes. All right. So now.
Kimi got bounced.
Okay, this is the one thing that the F1 website should do is link the
penalties,
or just like any of the FIA stewards' decisions. All right. Well, we'll keep going on. I'm assuming Kimi got. He must have got the penalty for taking out Leclerc.
Yeah.
That he didn't serve. Right.
Gotcha.
I'm assuming that's probably what it was for.
All right. Gotcha.
Yeah, he was handed a 10-second penalty for that.
Okay.
So that's where that was.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's exciting.
All right, so double points for Haas. I guess Franco Colapinto was very quiet 11th on that race. That could have been points there. And actually that would have been his first points of the season. Alpine have really seemed like the bottom team.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're dead last every race. They just haven't scored.
Right.
I mean, and Williams, like this weekend seemed like they were going to have a good double points. And then obviously Carlos had his incident with Lawson, but I feel like Williams is always the team that just goes backwards when they seem to show good pace earlier on in the weekend. On the contrary to that, Racing Bulls, I thought, did that earlier in the season, but now they seem to have corrected course where they're not just falling as the race progresses on.
Right.
They're able to hold position pretty well.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, I mean, I guess biggest point after this race finished, Piastri now has a sizable lead over Lando for really the first time this season.
Yes, he does.
So he's got a race in hand.
309 to be exact. He has 309 points to Lando's 275. Mm-hmm. So we're talking 25 plus 9, 34 point lead. Essentially, in order to overhaul and win the championship, Lando has to win 7 races.
Yeah, we're at the point where you can start doing all these scenarios.
We can start clicking down.
I think it's if McLaren finishes 1-2 for the rest of the races,
right?
Piastri has to win 3 of them.
Yeah.
In order to maintain the points.
That's correct.
But the other stat that I heard from the box neutrals guys was that Piastri is currently on the third longest consecutive points scoring
streak. Yes, that is correct, yes.
Which I think is a very good stat to put out, not to curse Piastri, but if he completes the season, he will break the record that Lewis has.
Yeah.
And but because that's the record, you statistically the odds are somewhat against him. So you're going to figure that there's probably a race that Piastri's not going to go well, whether it's a mechanical issue or he just has an incident on the track.
Yeah.
So this big points gap that he has, it's definitely not safe. He needs to extend.
Right.
So
yep.
The quicker he can do that, then yeah, once you have it wrapped up, sure, have the car fail or whatever at that point to throw that points scoring streak away if it ends up happening. But definitely something to keep in mind that the McLaren might look bulletproof, but Lando's issue shows that it's not. They're
right.
The team's human, that stuff will break and make mistakes. So it's definitely not as easy as some of the cars that we've seen in the past. Even though the McLaren as a whole does seem like the team that just will finish 1-2 every race.
Yep. Max holding court in third place.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting. In the constructors' standing, the question there is: can Max overhaul Mercedes for third place? It's a 34-point gap.
I don't think so. I think there's too many tracks left that Mercedes could have a really strong weekend at. I don't think he could do that.
I kind of agree with it.
But I mean, they're fourth in standings, and Max is third in points. And I don't see a reason why Max couldn't still finish third in points. He just needs to hope that the car is strong enough to just eke out ahead of Russell.
Right.
Because, I mean, Leclerc and Hamilton have been throwing away too many points, and Kimi's just not been...
Yeah.
Actually, Kimi's just had a really bad stretch of races.
Yeah.
I mean, what? 2, 4, 6... Sorry, 2. In the last 9 races, he's only scored points in 2 of them.
Yeah.
And one was a podium in Canada, and the other was a 10th place finish in Hungary.
Right.
So
you need George to hit some problems for it to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Max is definitely the better driver, but Russell definitely has the better car. Or I guess, sorry, has a better all around car,
because
clearly Max is still extracting speed out of the Red Bull that's challenging McLaren's, that it doesn't seem like the Mercedes can really do that except for the weekend in Canada.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So Yeah, it'll be interesting. But I mean, if you're Red Bull, I mean, they're clearly not winning the championship this year, but taking a fourth place finish might help with the development for the car for next year. I know it doesn't really help any incentives or bonuses for anyone on the team for this year, but if you kind of know that you're planning for this year to be what it is currently, then it's, I think finishing fourth would be okay in that mindset if you want to try and set yourself up for some, I guess, long-term success after the regulation change. All speculation.
All right.
Who knows?
All speculation.
Everything could flip upside down on its head.
Well, let's next race is the Italian Grand Prix.
In Monza.
Yep.
Actually,
I do
is
have Nate. I have net Nate's picks.
Oh, you do. Oh, we're doing
Yep.
picks now?
Oh, we do them at the end. Nate's
Yeah.
picks did come in.
Okay. All right. All right, we will do that at the end then. All right. IndyCar?
IndyCar season finale. This race was merely a fun race since the championship was all sewn up.
Yep.
Team Cheat went 1-3. They'll tell you that that made up for their year.
Sure.
Joseph Newgarden with the win. Our champion, Alex Palou, was second. Scott McLaughlin was third. Kiffin Simpson with a fantastic day finished fourth. Connor Daly, once again, oval ace, finishing fifth, with Kirkwood, Rosenquist, Ferrucci, Ailat, and Rossi rounding out the top 10. Christian Rasmussen, our winner from Milwaukee, during our absence, not a good day, did not complete a lap.
He completed a corner, but not the second
A
corner.
corner. Nope, did not complete the second corner. Our pole sitter lasted 82 laps, David Malukas. And our second place starter, Pato Award, lasted 200 and, no, sorry, 126 laps and retired. Contact.
Of the full 200 laps.
Yes, of the no, 200 and sorry, no, there was 225 laps.
That's right. 225.
So there's the race right there in a nutshell.
Yeah,
Not
pretty
much to really
much.
report. It was kind of like I kind of watched it and I was just like, oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it was some of the side-by-side stuff was, well, it was I mean, it was entertaining. Watching that, like at the start of the race, Pillow and Award going side by side for like 10 laps straight, it was
Yeah, it was
fun.
good stuff.
Like I mean, how could you not get excited about that? And then even on some of the restarts with Daly going three wide around the top side and then clearing two more guys in the next corner, like it's fun. Will Power was
No,
an
it is.
animal and then just missed the pit box. which sucked, but is what it is. I think what surprised me the most out of the race was the right front just falling apart on a couple cars.
Yeah.
Not great in terms of the tire manufacturer side. You definitely want the tire to fall off in terms of lap time, but not physically fall off the car.
Right.
So, and it really didn't seem like teams were pushing the tire in terms of that aspect, but I guess it did. It would just go at the point that it did with no real indication from the lap times that the tire was even at that point. Just getting back to, are we all good with Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to back up a week to Milwaukee. That was a great last stint by Rasmussen.
Oh, it was insane. I watched some of it with the in-car.
Mm-hmm.
From his thing. Oh, it was crazy. Crazy. Just some impressive moves. It was great strategy by ECR, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was great strategy, but, I mean, he seemed like the only guy the entire race that was trying something else. Because in the first half of the race, he was so on edge, I was just waiting for him to be the one to throw it in the wall.
Right.
Because of where he was at. But clearly, he knew the limit at the end of the race better than anyone. And then when the top line was clear enough, he just made it work when the car just got hooked up at that point.
Yeah.
And just went. So that was a great race, great run by him. And I mean, he really just put Rossi in the dust that race.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're in the same equipment at that point. So and it's not like Rossi was dead slow that race either. I mean, he finished fourth, I think, that race.
Yeah.
So still a great weekend for ECR as on a whole.
Yeah.
But I mean, the last stint, I mean, he gapped Rossi by like, I think, half a lap at least.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was a dominant final run that Rasmussen had. Yeah. So which is very impressive.
Yeah. And it was also a great race. I like that track. So
yeah,
I like the last. I like the way they're ending the season. Nashville's not bad. It's a good track. So I really enjoy having the oval to finish out the season. But I like the fact that they're not the super speedway ovals. Like I like Indy. I just don't like them when they're on the high banks because I get a little queasy watching them on the high banks.
Yeah. I guess I'd like to see them do at least one race on a track like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you know, Michigan high banks, but I mean, I think a race at, you know, Homestead might be good.
Right.
Yeah,
Homestead would be good. Yep.
And because I think Milwaukee showcases the extent of an oval that you don't necessarily want to see in some cases, where if that track does become single groove, then
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're the leader's just going to lap the field by the end of the race.
Right, right.
If it all goes green.
Yeah.
Especially if you have such a gap in speed between the fast car and the slowest car. Like it's going to be tough. Not that you won't run into traffic.
Yeah.
If everyone was just as fast, but I mean the dirty air with the cars is still that bad.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't say bad, but challenging to get around. Whereas on the the flip end, when you go to a track like Nashville, I guess I would like to see them be able to trim the cars out a bit more. Because even though I enjoyed watching Plo and Award go side by side for 10 laps, it was kind of slot car-esque, where Plo would get the draft, pull up alongside, and then just couldn't make the move.
Right. Yep.
So, and obviously if he was able to run the setup either a little bit looser was able to run the wings a bit more trimmed out, yeah, it'd be a little bit looser on the setup, but he would have the speed to overcome it. I mean,
yeah,
granted, give these guys, you know, 100 laps more to practice and do more testing on, you might end up in a similar scenario where if you trim it out enough, like, no one's really going to be able to use the draft effectively to suck up as much as they were to get the runs. But I mean, it's Nashville is a great track. If they want to play around with the aero package that's on it, play around with it, whatever, but it's a great track that they're running on. I'd like to see them do more ovals on the schedule personally. And this is coming from someone who's not an oval fan, but I think with IndyCar, it's working really well.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right. So IndyCar has wrapped up its season. We are on to the silly season. And that kicked off today.
Yep.
In a move not... I shouldn't say not. It was kind of, I would probably say it was 60-40 was going to happen. Will Power and Penske have cut ties after 17 seasons. As details emerged, it basically came down to Penske offered a 1-year deal. And basically, Will wanted a 2-year deal. Penske played hardball, and basically it came down to take it or leave it. And Will decided to, at that point, to leave it, and is going to move on. Speculation on who will fill his seat is David Malukas, who is a contracted Penske driver driving for AJ Foyt. Does that mean Will Power is going to Penske? I mean, to Foyt? Nope. I don't see that happening. We will get to that in a second. But the second shoe to drop today was Rinus VK will not be back at Dale Coyne Racing in 2026. They had the fast track is he is off the Foyt to replace Malukas, which would be I think would be great for Rinus. So
yeah,
you know, more of a mid pack car, a car that ran obviously qualified on pole this week. So car can run up front, so I think that'll showcase Rinus's talents.
And
he'll be teamed up with the miracle Santino Ferrucci.
Yeah, I mean, and Rinus has already proven himself to do exceptionally well on ovals.
Yep.
I think
good all around driver.
With the strength of where the Foyt car is on ovals with the Penske Alliance, like that, it'll just play into his hands. I think that'll be a good move for
That's
him.
That's correct. Yep. Shank is all set. They're returning the same two drivers. So no changes over there. Ganassi is believed to be returning the same drivers, Palou, Dixon, and Kiffin Simpson. Prema. Speculation is Callum Ilott will be back, but Schwartzman is not going to return. Apparently, Robert's not really enjoying his American racing, which I don't know where he's going to go.
I mean, he
basically gave up. He gave up the ride with Ferrari, which would have had him probably slotted in the hypercar. But I don't know what's going to happen there. It's too bad. But anyways, Junkos Hollinger. Right now, both drivers are TBD. I have to assume that Daly's back, because he got him into the leader card program. So I have to assume he's back. As for Stingray Rob, he brings the funding. Don't know.
Yeah.
If we go to Ray Hall Letterman, we have Graham, Devlin, and Louis Foster. I think this all hinges on a couple things. If they replace DeFrancesco, it'll probably be with another funded driver. The other question is whether or not Graham decides to, retire or continue.
Mm-hmm.
Louis is going to be back. So, I think that's where that team is. Arrow McLaren is all set. They have Lundgaard, Pato, and we'll continue with Nolan Siegel. That brings us to Ed Carpenter Racing is the assumption is it's still Rossi and Rasmussen for next year.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't see why they would switch that lineup.
I don't see why that'll change. Yeah,
that's been a good success this season. I'd say.
All right, so we have Malukas going to Penske. Now we get to the team. This is where things are crazy right now. Andretti.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Ericsson's going to be back, and we know Kyle Kirkwood's back.
Yep.
The speculation is that Dan Towers, who is the owner of Andretti Global, is keen to get Colton into a ride where he can get the super license points. For whatever reason, they don't feel that they can do it with the program they currently have in IndyCar, which would necessitate him finishing at least in the top four for next season to get those points. So the speculation is that Colton is headed to Formula 2. And will compete with the Prema team over there, probably under the Gainbridge sponsorship, and probably have some type of testing role with the Cadillac Formula One team. Also, speculation is that he will, assuming no conflict with F1, will run the, or F2, sorry, will run the Indy 500 under the Andretti Global banner. They will possibly put five cars on the grid, obviously with Marco being the fifth car.
Well, F2 doesn't go to Canada, do they?
No.
That's right. So that weekend would be open for them.
Right.
Aha. Uh-huh. That would be neat.
So, a lot of speculation there. The other speculation would be, who has the tie-in with Andretti this year?
You got to be a little bit more specific about that.
Is it Shank? Is Shank tied in with them?
Oh! In terms of the other IndyCar,
yeah,
on the grid,
or are they tied in with Ganassi? Don't know.
I don't Anyways. Think any. Any of the other teams are maybe...
The speculation is that Colton could be it would be possibly with Andretti or The other spot I could see where an extra car is run could be at RLL. Mm-hmm. Assuming if Takuma doesn't come back, maybe Colton runs there.
Yeah.
Again, under the Honda badge. So, although, you know, Cadillac F1 is GM, so I don't know how this all works. But anyways, so
yeah,
the backfill for Colton is obviously Will Power. That's where that's going.
Will goes to Andretti.
Andretti. Now, that leaves Dennis Hauger, who just cleaned house in the Indy NXT.
Yeah.
Who's the Andretti driver. So the thought is that he is headed to Coin and will run there. Or possibly, yeah, Coin, because JHR is on a Chevy motor. So it would be, he'd be on a Honda team. So that would lead him to Coin.
Yeah, and Renus is out there.
Renus is out there. He's going to Foyt. Yeah. So now there's also speculation, and I think this is probably Linus Lingard, who kind of got dumped from Carpenter. He is possibly headed to JHR to take the Stingray Rob seat.
Who?
Linus Lingard.
Lundqvist,
sorry. Linus Lundqvist, yep. Sorry.
I had Christian
Lingard.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry. So
I mean having Linus back would be great.
Yep. And then one of the open spots at Coin, the other rumor is potentially the Phoenix could be coming back.
Ooh.
Roman Grosjean.
Yeah.
So gonna have to stay tuned. Wild things are happening. I mean, crazy. We also don't know if what happens if Money Talks and Pelot walks.
Yeah, that would really, well, I mean, I say that would really throw a wrench into all this, but I think,
yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. But if it did, I think the obvious choice for Ganassi would be to go after Power.
Yeah. Yep. So kind of interesting stuff there. A lot happening.
Yeah. I guess just to kind of recap some of the season. I mean, as far as Herta not having the capability to achieve the super license points in IndyCar, I mean, Kirkwood finished fourth in the season and had 3 wins on the season for him. So the car is capable. Just Colton didn't have it this year. So if he needs help, then yeah, going to F2 to where there's more super license points that pay out, then that would be the move. Because unfortunately finishing 7th isn't cutting it with where he stands on the amount of super license points he has, because I think he needed to finish anywhere in the top 5 this year to maintain that status. Below utter dominance. Dixon, very quiet 3rd place, but I guess I just wouldn't expect anything less from Dixon, where he's just been kind of sitting in the background the whole time of like, I'm just going to pounce at some point. And he did it in Mid-Ohio, got the win there. He also had 2 second place finishes at St. Pete and the second Iowa race there. Kirkwood, really great season outside of just a couple bad races. One at the 500, and then the second poor race was the first Iowa race there. Lundgaard, great season. I know I skipped over Pato in second, but I mean, between Pato and Lundgaard at McLaren, that was pretty consistent, I'd say, compared to Ganassi and Pelot. I mean, Pelot is just on a completely different level. So, I mean, you take him out, like, then McLaren was there. And Rosenqvist with sixth place in the standings at the end of the season, actually tied for sixth. But I think Rosenqvist takes sixth place in countback because he has more second place finishes than Colton. That's just impressive in the fact that it's in a Meyer Shank car and ahead of every single Penske driver to that end. Marcus Armstrong in eighth. Again, really quiet finish with that to be there. And then ninth through 12th are your Penske drivers of Power, McLaughlin, Malukas in the Foyt car, but Penske basically. And then Newgarden in 12th. To sit here and say at the end of the season you're letting go Power, who was the top Penske driver in points. I know it's only by a point at the end of the day over McLaughlin, but I mean, really, you're gonna let Power go after this kind of a year. So I figured Malukas would be the one to replace Will at some point, but I didn't think it would have been, you know, this kind of an exit for Will. I figured it probably would have been either he decided it was time to leave and go to a different team, or just leave IndyCar as a whole. But you know, it's not what's playing out.
Right.
I guess just kind of looking further down the grid, some disappointments on the season that I'd highlight are Kevin Simpson, Marcus Ericsson, and Nolan Siegel. And
yeah,
I mean, I know.
I agree on Siegel. This is my thing with Siegel. I really see a lot of similarities with him and Malukas, and you know, Siegel can't put it together this year at McLaren. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing. I can't see. This is where that's why I'm a little leery with Malukas.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Simpson, I know he's the pay driver at Ganassi. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the one bringing the funding there. And, I mean, I know your teammates are Alex Pelot and Scott Dixon. Like, they're just on a completely different level. I mean, granted, he had a podium finish at Toronto and finished fourth in Nashville, just barely off the podium there. So I mean, he's got a couple good finishes, and then a fifth place in Detroit after Pelot got taken out that race, and Dixon, I think, got screwed on strategy when one of the yellows popped out, but I mean, he's definitely got moments where he shines, but I mean, really, to finish 17th in a Ganassi car when your teammates are finishing first and third in the championship, I mean, you got to be in the top 10 at that point with that kind of a car. But I mean, if Ganassi can sit there and do exactly what it is they're doing, where they can just take the money on one car and, you know, put the other two cars up in the front of the field, I mean, it doesn't really matter because they're going to win the championship that way. Erickson was just disappointing in the fact for a similar reason. I mean, Kirkwood and Herta finishing 4th and 7th, and then Marcus is down in 20th.
Yeah.
I mean, got to be up near the top 10. And, I mean, it's not to say he's got to be in the top 10 necessarily, because, I mean, the points spread from Dixon to, let's say, VK is 150 points, where 50 points for a win is the payout. It's definitely tight in some parts of third through 14th. But, I mean, just to sit there and be, you know, almost 150 points off your own teammate. Yeah, it's tough. So.
Yep.
Nope. I don't know. And then, I mean, the rest of the guys, like, Ray Hall had, or not Graham specifically, but RLL as a team, I mean, they just seem to be struggling. They got to get it turned around. They've had a couple good races or finishes out of the year, so good for them. And then same, and they had poles at the Indy Road Course, which was great, but just didn't convert. So yeah, it just stinks seeing them down there and not being able to fight further up the grid.
Right.
I mean, everyone else, it seemed just kind of the same story where, you know, they have half of the races, it seems like they're doing good and then just falls off a little bit at some point. So, but it's not like they're completely out to lunch, you know. But then there's definitely the group of drivers towards the bottom of the standings that are the back markers. So.
Well, I think that's a good review of the drivers and who didn't perform this year. I'm just not sold on the Lucas going to Penske right now. Especially with all the stuff that's going on at Penske. So I'd like to kind of see them kind of get straightened out before they go on the driver change route. But also, I mean, they did sign Scott to a little bit longer term contract. His contract now runs a tad longer than Newgarden's.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Newgarden's got to start to perform over there too.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's based on how this year went and what they're doing to try and change up and move forward. They got to continue the momentum that they've had at the end of the season into next season.
Right.
They can definitely do that. I mean, McLaughlin finished in his last four races, he went 10th, 7th, 3rd, 3rd. So,
yeah,
it's good there. Newgarden was 11th, 24th in Portland, so not great there, but 7th and then 1st. And then, I
first,
mean,
right.
And Will was...
Will was the most consistent of them throughout the season.
Yeah, across the season, which it was really the first half of the season. And then he kind of had a struggle in the middle,
yeah.
I'd say. I mean, these last two races, he wasn't able to get anything out of them. But, I mean, the win at Portland was big for them. So.
Nice. All right, should we move on to our picks for the Temple of Speed?
Yeah.
Monza?
Yeah, let's do that. Oh, actually,
right?
Just
yeah.
One other thing we forgot to touch on. IMSA raced at VIR, not this past week and the weekend before. Great race. It was a sprint to the finish, and the guys
GT race, right?
Yeah, GT only, and everyone was pushing everyone. There wasn't a bunch of moves at the end of the race, but everyone had to run 110% and not make a mistake at the end, and that's exactly what happened. No one really made a mistake, but it was good, hard racing of pushing each other.
And
so
that
was
something coming up
right there.
Speaking of sports cars coming up this weekend, we have COTA,
Dallas. For WEC, not IMSA.
WEC, not IMSA. And then next IMSA event, I believe in 2 weeks, is at Indy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a six-hour race.
Yep.
Something that did come up just on scheduling. Appears that IndyCar is going back to Phoenix and will run as a doubleheader with NASCAR at Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the official calendar to come out, because I've seen some like fake schedules and I'm like, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think with this one it's more of a,
and the reason for that, what led to that speculation was the NASCAR trucks will be running at St. Pete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that should be a crash fest.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't.
Wait, so then who would lose the slot?
I have to say, I'd have to think the MX-5s.
But that's such a good race for them.
I know.
Ah, that would suck.
I know. Anyway, that's what I got there.
Yeah. All right. Let's get these picks in.
Yep. All right. Let me go. I'll go first.
All righty.
I'm going to go with Oscar for the win.
All righty.
I'm going to go Max second. And I am going to say Charles will finish third.
All right.
And my dark horse is going to be, I'm going to go the Hulk.
The Hulk. All right. You said you had Nate's picks?
Nate's, yep. So he's going to go Hamilton, Lando, Fernando. And his dark horse is going to be Calipinto.
All righty. I'm just going to take the dream. Leclerc wins, Hamilton second.
A Ferrari won too.
Yeah. Third place. Will
Power?
Yeah, no, I wish Will Power. I don't even know what I'm looking for. I'm trying to rationalize a prediction. Let's go Hulkenberg. Gets there on the podium. Why not? And my dark horse, Antonelli.
Ah, all right.
We'll go with the third piece of the Italian puzzle in this aspect.
Got it. That's exciting.
Yeah. Right. Actually, no. You know what? Kimi finishes on the podium. Hulkenberg is my dark horse.
Oh, that's your dark horse. Okay.
Yeah. Let me swing that around.
Seems good.
That seems
all right.
A bit better.
Okay.
All right.
And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.